This is Andy Griffith. Most folks have never heard of East Head, New York, and that's because the people who live there want it that way. Tucked away among the suburbs of bustling New York City, East Head is a rustic isle of calm where one can lead the quiet life, untroubled by the outside world. Helen and Brian Bronson came to East Head about 20 years ago when they were newlyweds. They set out their shingle as real estate brokers and settled down to make a fortune. People liked their style, and soon they were the only real estate brokers in town. Money flowed. They invested their profits wisely. After a time, Helen and Brian had become pillars of the local establishment, but success was not without its price. True love gave way to a fierce competition in business. Suddenly, the marriage that had been made in heaven landed with a thud in divorce court, and the marriage was forgotten. But after that, things just never seemed to go right. The East Head real estate market dried up as people held on to what they had rather than selling out and trading up to a newer model. Some folks called it a slump. Others called it a recession. Still others blamed it on inflation. Whatever the cause, Helen and Brian were left like two wild beasts foraging out in the cold. Then at the darkest hour, a miracle occurred. The local paper, the East Head Voice, came out with a small ad tucked away in the corner of the last page.
For sale, large Victorian house, big rooms, lots of bathrooms.
Parlor and study, 2.5 acres. Some ceilings missing. Contact Mildred Munn, 327 Harmony Court.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The Treasure of Harmony Court by Michael Lutwicz. Our stars, Lorraine Tuttle, Jack Bannon, and Betty Harford.
So the battle is on. Helen and Brian will soon find that the house offered for sale is certainly no salesman's dream. In its heyday, it was a grand old Victorian mansion, bristling with turrets, cupolas, and gables. Now it's just a creaky old hulk with a leaky roof and boarded up windows. But it is the only house for sale in East Head, and beggars or real estate agents can't be choosers.
Helen! Helen?
I see you, Brian. I was hoping not to see you, but I see you already.
You didn't expect me to overlook the ad.
No, but I was just hoping.
Helen, this is no way to talk to each other. We're still friends, aren't we?
Oh, as long as we're friends at arm's length, fine. How long have you been here?
Oh, about 5 minutes. I rang the doorbell, but nobody answered.
Well, let's try again.
Seriously, Helen, you're really looking wonderful.
Now, don't start that on me, Brian.
Oh, seriously, I mean it.
Really? No kidding?
Aside from the fact that you've put on a little weight and your hair's looking sort of lifeless, you look fine.
Look, first, I have not put on weight. I have lost weight. Second, my hair is not lifeless. It's just a little tired. And third, I need your compliments like I need the German measles.
Helen, I didn't mean it that way.
Oh, what? Isn't anybody home? It's always the same with you, Brian. You just needle, needle, needle. Always trying to break down my confidence. Well, I'm not listening to you, do you hear?
Just the same as you always were, stubborn, opinionated, and you're always putting words in my mouth.
Hello!
And you're just the same as you always were, an ego with legs.
Hello!
Look, Helen, if you want to get personal...
Miss Mildred Munn?
Yes?
My name is Helen Gates.
And I'm Brian Bronson.
I saw the ad in the paper
for your house for sale.
Oh, so you're interested in the house.
Yes.
Come in, come in.
This is quite a big house, Miss Munn.
You live here all alone?
No. My aunt lives with me. Just the two of us.
Oh, it must be very cozy.
Oh, it is. I've lived in this house for 30 years myself. I'm sure it would make a wonderful home for a nice young couple like you. Do you have children?
No, Miss Munn. Helen and I are not married.
Oh, I see. Excuse me, but what Brian is trying to say is that we were married once, but we aren't anymore.
I think I see. Well, why don't we go into the parlor and have a cup of tea and talk? I'm sure Agatha would love to meet you. Please excuse the dust. Agatha and I aren't the best of housekeepers, I'm afraid. This is our favorite room because this is where we keep our books.
Oh, you have quite a lot of books.
Excuse me for a moment. I'll go fetch Agatha. Agatha! Agatha, dear!
Have you ever seen so many books in your life?
There must be thousands of them.
Well, watch your step because they're piled all over the floor.
Now, just go sit in your chair by the fire, dear. Mr. Bronson, Miss Gates, come over and join us, won't you?
Where's this Agatha?
I don't see anyone.
Now, Mr. Bronson, you're a big, strong man. Could you just lift these books off the settee? Just throw them anywhere. There. Now, take a seat. Agatha, dear, this is Mr. Bronson. And Miss Gates. I think they make a fine couple, too. Oh, well, they're here to look at the house.
Excuse me, but where is Agatha?
She's right over there in her armchair. Oh, Miss Gates was just joking, dear. Of course she can see you. Say hello to her, Miss Gates.
Hello, Agatha.
It's good to meet you.
There. Now that we all know each other, I'll go make some tea. Now, you sit and visit till I come back.
Agatha?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out if she's nuts or I'm nuts.
I think she's got you beat by a mile.
What is this woman? Is she talking to a ghost?
Whoever it is, Mildred seems to know her pretty well.
Look at all these books.
Here's one. Passion's Desperate Yearnings.
Or how about this? The Lusting Wind of Sumatra.
Oh, here's The Loves of Shingundula.
That settles it. This woman is an overdone fruitcake, and I'm getting out of here.
So long.
You mean you're staying?
A commission's a commission.
Oh, you've got a point there.
Uh-oh, she's coming back.
What do we do?
What else? Talk to Agatha. Oh, that's very, very interesting. I've always wanted to read The Lusting Wind of Sumatra myself.
Tea time! I see you all are getting along wonderfully.
Well, your aunt is a very witty conversationalist.
Oh, she's very well read, you know. If it weren't for her influence, I'd never have opened a book myself. But now we travel together into worlds of romance and adventure. Have you ever been to Sumatra, Miss Gates?
No.
Oh, that's what I mean. You don't have to go there. Just pick up this book and let your imagination take wing.
Oh, I imagine it's very exciting.
Excuse me, Miss Gates. What, dear? All right, Agatha, dear. We'll get down to business. My good friend, Mr. Regal...
Regal? You mean Floyd Regal, the editor of the Easthead Voice?
Yes. He's such a fine man. He and Agatha have been trying to get me to sell this place for the longest time.
Well, it's a big house. Too big for one person.
Two people, Miss Gates.
Oh, right. Two people.
Now, how much would you two like to pay me for the house?
Miss Munn, we don't exactly want to buy the house.
You don't?
But we're real estate agents, Miss Munn. We'd like to sell it for you.
You want to sell our house?
Let me explain. We're professionals in the field of real estate. We know just how to get a buyer to pay more for a piece of property.
To sell it for more than it's worth.
I see. What did you say, Agatha, dear? Why, that's an excellent idea. A contest.
A contest?
Yes. You see, if you sell the house first, I'll pay you your cut.
Commission.
Commission, that's right. And if I, or Agatha, sells it first, we won't pay you anything.
Come again?
Isn't that a wonderful idea?
It's different.
I'm not sure that I like it.
A contest will make us all work a little harder. There, that's settled. Now, while I clear up the tea things, Agatha, would you take Mr. Bronson and Miss Gates down to see the study? I'll catch up with you in a minute.
Well, ex-partner, it looks like we're in this one together.
Oh, that's all I need, working with that crazy woman and you.
Well, it's off to the study. Lead the way, Agatha. must be the study in there.
Why don't you just follow Agatha?
Just keep your voice down.
Oh, this is crazy, Bronson. There's something about that woman that gives me the willies.
She's a nice old woman, and she has a nice big house to sell. Do you want in or do you want out?
Let's check out the study. I've seen enough.
Come on, it's a beautiful old room once you clear the books and the old trunks out of it.
Oh, this floor feels like it's going to cave in any minute. Oh, Brian, let's get out of here.
You can do what you want, Helen. Just quit pestering me, too.
Oh, Brian, what happened?
The floor just gave way.
I knew it. Any minute the whole house is going to come down.
Now, control yourself, Helen. It's not serious. It's just that
Brian, what are you babbling about?
Helen, look down through the hole in the floor.
I don't see anything.
Look again. It's money, Helen. $100 bills.
It looks like there are bags down there.
I think I'll just try to open one up.
There must be $10,000 just lying around down there.
Yoo-hoo!
Oh, Mildred's coming.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. Hide it.
The money?
No, the hole. Push your trunk over the hole in the floor.
Mr. Bronson, Miss Gates, Agatha.
Push.
There you are. Well, come on now. Let's all go look at the upstairs.
Helen Gates has decided to find out a little more about the mysterious Mildred Munn. And her first stop is at the office of Floyd Regal, editor of the East Head Voice.
Well, let me tell you something about Mildred. She has seen more tragedy in her lifetime than most people ever will.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Her late husband was, well, to put it bluntly, a gangster who ran around with all sorts of criminal types until he died 15 years ago.
A gangster?
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean like a bank robber?
Yeah, he was involved in a number of robberies, I think. But every time he went out on a job, it seemed that he and his gang landed in prison. I think most of them are gone by now.
Oh, that's good. I mean, that's terrible.
Now, Mildred has a son, Walter by name, who, it appears, has followed in his father's footsteps. The last she heard from him, he was in prison out in California for some bank scheme.
Oh, that's too bad. Mm-hmm. But where does this invisible aunt come from?
Mildred's Aunt Agatha lived with her for more than 20 years, Helen. And when Agatha died 10 years ago, well, Mildred just never quite accepted her death.
It's like she needs a friend.
Exactly. Mildred's a charming person, cultivated, well-read, and quite an interesting conversationalist. You just have to overlook Agatha as one of her...
Kinky habits?
Well, I think eccentricities is a better term.
Right, eccentricities.
She's quite a fine woman, Helen. There's no need to worry. Just humor her a little.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Regal. You've been quite a help.
Snickle, could you come in my office, please? Sit down, please.
Right, Chief.
And please stop calling me Chief Snickle. Makes me feel like Sitting Bull. Oh,
sorry, Chief.
Mr. Regal will be quite sufficient. Now then, an interesting situation has come up.
Oh, you sense a story in the wind, Mr. Regal?
I do. Or at least I smell something rotten in East Head.
Oh.
To wit, Helen Gates just left my office a moment ago. And Brian Bronson called on me this morning.
Ah, skullduggery afoot, perhaps.
Both of them were curious about Miss Mildred Munn, a good friend of mine. And they both had the most incredible look in their eyes.
I don't follow you, Mr. Regal.
As you mature, Snickle, you will discover, among other things, that people who sell real estate have eyes like cash registers. You can almost hear a little bell ring when they blink. And from the look I saw in those two pairs of eyes, there is something strange going on.
And you'd like me to investigate.
Exactly. Use an incognito if you must,
uh-huh.
But find out what's going on in that house. Hello, Helen. What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? What's wrong? You look white as a sheet.
All morning long, I have been trying to get under the floor of the study again to see how much is down there.
Now, wait a minute, Brian.
She's been keeping me busy reading to her all morning long.
What makes you think I'm going to go along with you on this?
There may be lots of money involved, Helen. Thousands, maybe millions.
Oh, you got me interested.
So I want you to go into the parlor and keep Mildred busy while I just take a look in the study.
Oh, good morning, Miss Gates. Come and join us. Agatha says hello, Miss Gates.
Oh, hello, Agatha.
No! Oh, you're sitting on her!
Where? Who?
Oh, Agatha, dear, are you all right? Oh,
I mean, if she's got any broken bones, I've got insurance.
Now what?
Building inspector.
Oh, no.
John Snickelson here. We find on review of our records that this house has not been inspected in more than 20 years.
Well, what is it that you want from me?
Well, I just want to take a look around, check on structural integrity, so on and so forth.
Good, go ahead. You don't have to check under the house, do you?
Oh, I'm afraid so. Foundation check. And frankly, from the looks of things, you could lose half your cupolas in the next high wind.
Look, I don't care about my cupolas.
Yeah, what room is that on the right?
The study.
Mm-hmm, that's as good a place as any to start.
Actually, now that you mention it, several of the cupolas have been creaking lately. Why don't we go upstairs and take a look?
My business, you start from the ground and work up. If it's rotten at the bottom, it's creaking on the top.
Marissa whirled. Sheik Ali Ram was standing close behind her, his burnoose flowing in the wild wind. "I love you, Marissa," he shouted. "Come away with me." Marissa slapped him sharply across the jowls. "Love?" she cried. "What could you know of love, you vile creature, you slimy thing of the desert?"
"She certainly is a spirited little girl, isn't she?"
"Who?"
"Marissa. This is perhaps our favorite novel. Right, Agatha, dear?" "I know. Gust Over Savannah is a great book, too, dear."
"Have you read all these books, Miss Munn?"
"Most of them. Agatha and I do have our favorites, though. Love is such a fine emotion."
"Unless you find the wrong man."
"Well, maybe you can't see the right one."
"What do you mean, Miss Munn?"
"I think that Mr. Bronson still loves you, Miss Gates."
"Brian? Only thing he loves are himself and money. I don't know the order."
"Oh, you speak as a woman embittered. But from one who knows the pain of loneliness too well, let me advise you. Never throw love away. There's something that says to me that you and Mr. Bronson are like two peas in a pod."
"I don't know what to say."
"Just never close your heart to him, Miss Gates."
"I promise you I won't, Miss Munn."
"There. There. Now, where... Oh, goodness, where were we?"
"We were at You Slimy Thing of the Desert."
"Ah, yes. And now Todd comes up."
Ali Ram reeled, his eyes burning with lust or hate. Marissa knew he would be dangerous now. Suddenly, a familiar hand rested on her shoulder, and she whirled to face Todd Masterson. "Oh, Todd, you're alive," she cried. "I left you for dead at Chateau de Kem."
"Excuse me, Helen. I'll get the door."
Mildred Munn.
"Yes?"
"J.W. Keene. I'd like to take a look at your house."
"Please come in, Mr. Keene. Please come in."
Things are starting to get a little crowded over at Mildred Munn's place. And over at the East Head Voice, Floyd Regal is watching the strange goings-on at Harmony Court like a hawk.
$100 bill, eh? Very interesting.
There were more, Chief.
How many more?
I didn't have time to look. Mr. Bronson stayed with me every step of the way.
Like he was afraid you'd find something?
Exactly. And at 4.07 p.m., Mr. J.W. Keene arrived.
Description?
Somewhere in his 30s, well-dressed, with an emphasis on Italian more than British tailoring. Definitely a laid-back look overall.
I don't need his fashion philosophy, Snickle.
He didn't seem to care much for the house. He took a brief walk through and left.
Very interesting. I think it's time I did a little snooping around on my own.
You sense a crime in the works?
I only wish to ensure that the best interests of Mildred Munn are safeguarded.
Perhaps a touch of romance, too.
Snickle,
I am Miss Munn's friend and nothing more.
Of course, Chief.
Vonda Sue screamed. The Yankee captain was standing in her path, a sneer curling across his handsome face. "Going somewhere, Miss Beckwith?" he said. Vonda Sue flared with a willful spirit that had been the birthright of all the Beckwiths. "Just you wait till my daddy gets here," she snarled. "He'll horsewhip you, damn Yankee."
"You have such a marvelous voice, Mr. Bronson. I wish you could read for me every day."
"It's a pleasure, Miss Munn."
"Well, mark the place now. I think I'm going up to have a nap. Agatha will keep you company."
"Well, it's now or never." "I don't believe it. It's a fortune. It's more money than I've ever seen in my life. I think I just reached Nirvana."
"Hi, Brian."
"Oh, Helen, I gotta talk to you."
"Brian, what's come over you? Your eyes are looking just like cash registers."
"Helen, Mildred just went up to take a nap about an hour ago, so I went and I looked under the study floor."
"And what did you find?"
"Money, Helen. More money than I've ever dreamed I would find. Big, fat bundles of $100 bills, sacks filled with them. Helen, there are millions of dollars down there, and they're ours for the taking."
"What are you getting at?"
That you and I buy this house ourselves, and then it'll all be ours. All that beautiful money."
"Brian, now that isn't right."
"What isn't right?"
"Us plotting to steal Mildred's money right out from under her."
"It isn't stealing. It's totally legal to buy the house from her."
"But it's wrong, Brian. I don't know. I've sort of got to liking her, I guess. You know, she really cares about me, I think. And this place is all she has in the world. She doesn't have the money to travel or do anything she wants. And here we are plotting to rip her off. Well, I've decided I'm going to tell her all about it."
"Now, Helen, don't do anything rash."
"Oh, you disgust me. You and your never-ending thirst for money."
"Look, Helen, if you tell her about the money, she won't sell the house and we won't even get a commission out of this." "Helen, where are you going?"
"I'm going to the parlor."
"Helen, wait!"
"And when Mildred gets up, I'm going to tell her all about..."
"Helen, are you all right?"
"The floor just cracked open underneath me."
"You're all in one piece. There are no broken bones or anything."
I don't think so. Oh, I've got a pain in my thigh. Brian! Brian!"
"I don't believe it."
"More money!"
"It's like all my fantasies come true, Helen. A house that is made of money."
"Oh, Brian, this is crazy."
"I want you to come to my office, Helen, and we'll talk. Just don't do anything rash." "Cripes, now we've got to hide this hole in the floor."
"Oh, don't look at me."
"I'll tip over that stack of books."
"Brian, you're insane."
"Get out of my way, Helen. There, that should cover it up for a while."
Oh, there you are, Mr. Bronson. And Miss Gates. I heard some strange noises a moment ago."
"Oh, it was nothing, just a pile of books fell over."
"Well, Agatha told me that she thought someone was hurt."
"Nobody's hurt."
"I'm fine."
"Listen, Miss Munn, Helen and I are going to go out for a bit, and we'll be back shortly. Very shortly." "Now, Helen, be reasonable."
"I'm being perfectly reasonable. If we buy the place, then Mildred gets a cut of whatever we find under the floor."
"Whatever happened to finders keepers?"
"Well, that's the problem with you, Brian. You're without a doubt the most scheming, devious, avaricious, greedy person I've ever known in my entire life."
"What's wrong with that? I'm in real estate."
"And there's something else about this that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. For one thing, where did all that money come from?"
"You talked to Floyd, didn't you? Mildred's husband was a crook, and he hid the swag under the floor."
"The whole thing's just too incredible."
"Helen, just remember that there are millions of dollars in cash under that floor. Tax-free cash. Don't you ever dream about tax-free cash, Helen?"
"Oh, all right. We'll buy the place already. Mildred told me we were just like two peas in a pod, and she was right."
"Hello, Mr. Bronson. Miss Gates, you're back so soon."
"We just decided to step out and talk things over."
"We had a decision to make."
"And we decided that we'd like to make you an offer to buy this house."
"Do you mean that you two are going to get back together?"
No.
We just wanted to buy it as an investment.
Oh, here I was all excited to tell you my good news. I'm afraid it's not so good anymore.
What's not so good anymore?
That nice young Mr. Keene came back and made me an offer.
But you didn't accept his offer, of course.
But I did.
You sold the house, Mildred?
Yes. And you know, Mr. Keene was such a nice young man. Agatha thought he was very charming. And so when he offered me $20,000 for the house, I thought that was quite a generous offer.
He offered you $20,000 for this house?
Yes, he did. And I remembered what you had said about holding out for a higher price, so I held out.
Oh, thank heavens.
He paid me
$20,500. That's all he paid you?
Oh. Oh, dear. What's wrong with Mr. Bronson?
He's very happy for you, Miss Munn. It's just that words can't express his feelings.
Well, it looks like I won our little contest.
Then we should go inside and celebrate.
That's a marvelous idea. Oh, now, we must be very quiet so we don't wake Agatha. She's such a light sleeper.
Andy Griffith again, and here's the fourth act of The Treasure of Harmony Court. What would you do if you thought you had your hands on millions of dollars and it suddenly vanished into thin air? If you're like Helen and Brian, you'd be going into a state of shock.
It was there, Helen. It was right there in front of me. I could see it. I could feel it. I could touch it. I could even smell it. Money. More money than I'd ever seen before, and now it's all gone.
Brian, you've got to get hold of yourself. It's not the end of the world.
We just lost millions of dollars, and you can sit there and tell me it's not the end of the world?
Look, I asked Floyd Regal to come over. He wants to talk to us.
Why should I want to talk to Floyd Regal, especially at a time like this? This is a period of mourning.
Mildred is a fine lady, but she can sometimes be a little too trusting.
Too trusting. She got had. That house is worth 10 times more than $20,000.
$20,500.
Whatever it was, it makes me sick.
Well, there's no way we can get her out of the contract.
She signed the papers. He paid the money. The deal's airtight.
Well, I've done a little research on Mr. J.W. Keene.
Let's hear it.
It seems Mr. Keene is a real estate man in his own right. He's in New York representing the Copacetic Dynamics Group.
That sounds like a fat farm out in California.
As a matter of fact, the company is headquartered in California. They specialize in building condominium-style living environments. And apparently he intends to tear Mildred's old house down
tear
and build
it. Tear it down? He can't tear it down.
It's his property. He can do whatever he wants to with it.
Well, what's to become of Mildred?
She and Agatha are staying with me until they can find an apartment.
It's just disgusting the way that Keene took advantage of poor, trusting Mildred.
That really turns your stomach, doesn't it, Brian?
Come on, Helen. We're going to New York.
New York? Whatever for?
We're going to teach Mr. J.W. Keene a lesson he won't soon forget.
Slow down, Brian! You almost hit that car!
Look, Helen, there's a lot at stake here.
Yeah, our lives.
Don't be sarcastic, Helen. We've got important business to conduct. Between us, we own a lot of property, and we're going to get that house if we have to put every dime of it in hock. When I think of the way that shyster used that poor old woman.
Oh, sort of gives you a feeling of deja vu, doesn't it?
Knock it off, Helen.
Brian, you would have taken every dime she had if you could have.
Well, I've learned the error of my ways. I'm going to walk into Keene's office and say, Keene, how would you like to make a quick profit? I'll take that old hunk off your hands for $250,000. And he'll say...
That's a serious offer.
Oh, you think it is. And that is exactly why it's so funny. $500,000 is ridiculous.
You are nothing but a rip-off artist.
Look, my friend, you barged in here and totally disrupted my meditation space. Without same, I get cranky, capish?
I don't give a hoot about your meditation time.
Somehow I sensed that.
We are seriously trying to buy this house.
Then you are seriously crazy. Do you have any idea what I can make on that old place? I tear down the house.
Don't say that.
Whatever. I put up condos on the property. It's gold mine time, so I don't want to fool around with your $250,000 or $500,000.
That's pennies where I come from.
Okay, Mr. Big Dealer. Now, where do you start talking turkey?
$2 million.
$2 million?
And now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to do my chant.
Are you sure we did the right thing?
Never more sure in my life.
You know, when we were married, I would ask myself, why did I ever marry this man? And now that we just did ourselves into hock for $2 million to buy a house that won't last 2 months, I'm asking myself, why did I do it? You know, Brian, I really think I love you.
You really mean that?
We're like Mildred says, two peas in a pod.
I never stopped loving you, Helen, not for an instant. And now, not only will we have each other, but we'll be rich. We'll be rich!
Oh, you were always such a romantic, Brian.
Just think, Helen, we'll take possession of the place in a few weeks, and we'll walk hand in hand across the threshold, just you and I, and then...
Yes?
I'll grab a pickaxe, and I'll tear the hell out of that floor. Helen, Helen, it's ours. Everything went through.
That's wonderful, love.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's move in.
Now, remember your promise, Brian. We save some of the loot for Mildred.
Yes, yes, of course we will. Now, let's get going.
Hey, Valentino. Whatever happened to walking over the threshold together?
Helen, come and look at this. Have you ever seen anything so beautiful in your life?
It just sort of takes your breath away.
There are 20 big bags down there, Helen, and this is only the study.
By the time you demolish the rest of the house, why, you might be a millionaire. How about one little kiss?
In a while. First, I have to check the parlor.
Oh, Brian, for Pete's sake, we got money to burn.
There's no such thing as money to burn.
You are the most insufferable man I've ever known. Why, there's bags and bags of money sitting under the floor, and all you can think of is more and more and more. Well, you can keep your lousy money. I didn't go into hock up to my eyeballs just because of the money. I wanted you, Brian. Well, try and kiss your money. See how far it gets you.
Am I speaking to Miss Helen Gates?
Yes, you are.
And is Mr. Brian Bronson here as well?
He is.
Good, good. I've come across a few items that may be of interest to you.
Who the heck are you, if I might ask?
My name is John Snickle, formerly a reporter with the Easthead Voice.
Hey, who'd you let in there, Helen?
Brian, this is Mr. Snickle.
I'll bet he is. That's the guy who came here as a building inspector.
Yeah, that is right.
Trying to spy around, see if you could get a piece of the action for yourself, huh? Had you pegged from the start.
No, I assure you I was not here in search of personal gain. I came at the order of my then-employer, Mr. Floyd Regal. He wished to have you watched.
Floyd Regal? Having us watched?
Since that time, I've been doing a little research on my own, and I've discovered some very interesting facts.
Such as?
Well, such as the fact that J.W. Keene, who bought this house from Miss Munn, and then I believe sold it to you, is Miss Munn's only son, Walter.
You want me to believe that Mr. Keene is Mildred's son? You're crazy.
Well, Walter Munn has led a checkered career in and out of prison, his criminal specialty being in the area of forgery and counterfeiting of currency.
Counterfeiting?
Yes. In fact, he was released from a federal prison in California only a couple of months ago, after his most recent stretch for attempting to duplicate the United States $100 bill.
Oh, look, Mr. Snickle, now, if this is a joke, it's gone far enough.
Look, Snickle, I don't know why you're doing this, but unless you clear out pronto, I'm going
no,
to
no,
beat
no,
the...
No, 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 now, before you lose control, Mr. Bronson, let me explain. When I was here in the guise of the building inspector, I found a $100 bill lying in the basement. I took it with me, but something about it bothered me. Something wasn't right. And then I realized that the problem was Grover Cleveland.
What's Grover Cleveland got to do with anything?
A great deal, Mr. Bronson. On a genuine $100 bill, the face of Benjamin Franklin appears. But on the bill that I found in your basement was Grover Cleveland.
We'll see about that. I'll just go look.
The face of Grover Cleveland does appear on the $1,000 bill, however.
Oh, fascinating.
Grover Cleveland, Grover Cleveland... Every damn one of them is Grover Cleveland.
Apparently, Walter was not a man for detail.
Do you mean to tell me that all that money...
is quite worthless. It would appear that you've been made the victims of what is commonly called a bunco game.
Grover
Grover Cleveland. This one is Grover Cleveland. That one is Grover Cleveland.
It's a simple con game. They place the bait, in this case the money, under the floor and give you every opportunity to find it. Then they sell it off for a second party who sells it to you at an exorbitant price, of course.
Of course. And what about Miss Mildred? I know that sweet little old lady didn't have anything to do with this. She just couldn't.
Not only could she, but she did. She appears to have flown the coop with my former editor.
Floyd Regal?
Yes, he did what I believe is called the setup.
Grover Cleveland, Grover Cleveland.
Miss Mildred and Floyd? Well, where are they? Where did they go?
I believe they are on their honeymoon.
Oh, I can't believe it's really true. We're on our way to Europe.
And we'll spend the rest of our lives traveling.
Paris, London, Roma.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait, my love.
We'll be landing in Zurich shortly now. We'll meet Walter there, and we'll put the money safely in a bank.
Do you mean I'm going to meet the gnomes of Zurich?
You are indeed.
A toast to the best husband in the world.
And to the best wife.
To love.
This one is Grover Cleveland, and so is this one, Grover Cleveland.
Oh, they're all Grover Cleveland, Brian. The money's worthless.
I can't believe it, Helen. Somewhere down there, there's some real money. I know it.
Look, we've been through $2 million worth already, and you haven't found one that isn't a fake.
I have faith, Helen. If I have to look through every single one of those bills, I'll do it. But there's a fortune in this house, and I'm going to find it.
Well, I'm freezing to death. Could you throw a couple of $100,000 worth of Grover Cleveland on the fire?
Where are all the books?
We burned the last of them last week.
Well, don't worry, Helen. We'll be rich when I find the treasure.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Brian, stop it. There's no treasure. We got had. We got taken. Our credit line has ended. We gave up everything we had in this world for this rotten old house. And all that either one of us has left in the world is each other.
Grover Cleveland. Grover Cleveland.
And Grover Cleveland.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The Treasure of Harmony Court, was written by Michael Lutfisch and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your host was Andy Griffith. Our stars were Lorene Tuttle, Jack Bannon, and Betty Harford. Featured in the cast were Olin Soule and Robert Towers. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
This is Vincent Price. Join us tomorrow. I'll have another story to astonish and mystify.